It's the Revved Up Sports Show with Rodney Rodriguez and Bobby Chaffee on the Horn, where Austin talks sports.
On a soupy Saturday morning in Austin, Texas, it is Revved Up ATX on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Rodney Rodriguez in studio today, overlooking Racetown, USA, as is Austin, Texas. Give us a follow on Twitter, at RevvedUpATX. You can follow the station at the Horn ATX. As always, my Saturday partner there behind the glass, it is Sam Pika. Check him out on Instagram at pika.chew. Sam, Thanksgiving, my man. Did you get enough to eat, my friend?
Only barely. The leftovers is where I really exceeded.
Yeah, you know, I had leftovers last night, and a lot of times, I'm ashamed to say, leftovers sometimes are better than the first shot.
Thanksgiving food is one of those foods, like pizza, Chinese food, bro. It's one of those foods that just gets better when it's cold.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And that was certainly the case. And I will be hammering down again a little bit later on. And this is the day for it, because Sam and I were talking before the show, and it's one of those, you know, couch potato kind of days, because the rain's just going to keep coming. I looked at the InAccu weather forecast, and I say InAccu because we never know. I looked at it, and we've got this stuff all day. Nothing heavy, nothing light, just somewhere in between. So leftovers, cold beverage, warm beverage, mixture of beverages, some college football, and that's what's going to get you through the day. So we do welcome you in. Hopefully your Thanksgiving was awesome. You got time to spend, you know, with those loved ones there as much as you could. I know we're in a different time and different things are happening, and we're having to do Thanksgiving a lot different than we have in the past. But hopefully you did enjoy that time. Specs text line, hit us up, 512-337-3776. We will talk racing. But, of course, we have to talk 40 acres. We have to talk Dallas Cowboys. Here at the beginning, just touch on it a little bit. Not a good time today to really be a diehard fan, as I am, of either one, because you had the Cowboys with a just crash. I mean, we've watched the Cowboys crash throughout the year, but you have a really good opportunity on Thanksgiving Day. You're taking on the Washington football team, and you fail. You fail again, and mistakes. Zeke fumbling. He's fumbled more this year than he's fumbled his whole career, I think, playing with the Cowboys. So that continues to happen. And then you had yesterday, you had the Longhorns just firing out of the box, and you're thinking something's good's going to happen right here. You've had some time off, you've had 3 weeks off, and you still managed to lose. And that is going to be an ongoing story throughout the week that we will cover right here on the Horn, as we will touch on the future. Still games to play. I saw something last night on ESPN where they said that Oklahoma and Texas still have the best path to get into that Big 12 championship. Is that going to happen? I don't know, but lots of questions. Lots of questions to be answered. And I was actually checking on Twitter. Sam, get a breaking news sounder here right quick, if you could, right quick. I saw tweeted out from Roger Wallace at 10:38 a.m. this morning. So this is breaking news from the 40 Acres. Longhorn sophomore basketball player and five-star Westlake High School recruit Will Baker. I called a lot of Will Baker games. He will be transferring. He will be transferring out of the Texas basketball program. We'll quote him: "My goal has been and remains to be to meaningfully contribute to the success of my team. At Texas, I wasn't maximizing my potential. I gradually came to realize that there is another place that is a better fit, and now I'm trusting God to lead me to the right program." So there you go. It's happening on the basketball side. Texas wins over Rio Grande Valley on Wednesday night, I believe it was, but you've got that happening right there. So, man, just a lot of stuff. We keep hearing that from the 40 Acres. As it seems like you've got the problems with the football team, and now you've got that with the basketball team. High expectations this year for Shaka Smart and the basketball team, but you lose Will Baker, or are going to lose Will Baker. So definitely not a step in the right direction. Friends, take the opportunity today. Take the opportunity today. Today is National Small Business Saturday, and especially in this year where we have seen so many trying times for businesses, and we see it across the board, whether it be global, national, but local is where we want to focus on. National Small Business Day. I'm a small business owner myself, so take the opportunity today, especially in this season of people purchasing and buying things. Support your local small businesses today. There's a lot of folks here in the Austin area that have been impacted by this COVID-19, by the pandemic that we continue to go through. So this is a time where you can go and help those folks out. We've lost a lot of local businesses here in the last 9 months, and on National Small Business Saturday, get yourself out there and help those folks out. Help those small businesses out. They need all the help they can get. All the businesses do. But when we talk about hitting home, that's where we need to do it. We need to do it today, especially. Do it at all times. But today is really a day that you do it on Small Business Saturday. So diving in, speaking of COVID-19, as we jump into racing with sports, there are so many. I'm a play-by-play guy. I do a lot of play-by-play stuff. I did 2 football games this week, and that just goes to tell you with high school sports how everything has moved around. And we've had Monday night high school football games. I've done Wednesday evening. I did a Wednesday evening game this past Wednesday. I did a Friday afternoon game yesterday with Austin High, winning over Del Valle. But so much of what we love about sports, and if you were raised with sports, is the iconic voices. The iconic voices that we hear that bring the whole picture together. And so much of what play-by-play guys do, especially when it comes to radio, you see it in television as well. They paint the picture for us. But when you get radio play-by-play guys are the ones that actually, you can't see it. You can't see it. If you're listening, you're not actually seeing what these guys are describing, guys and ladies. And they paint such a great picture as to what is actually happening at the event, and you're listening from far away. I mean, we can go right down the list. I think of Pat Summerall. I think of Pat Summerall as a play-by-play guy. That's a TV guy. But listening and watching him, his broadcast, he really did a good job telling us what was happening and really diving into that. When you go over to baseball, you think of Vin Scully. These guys where you would flip on the radio or you flipped on a national broadcast and you heard these guys. Don Crickey, the guys that really describe this stuff. And I mean, even Marv Albert when it came to football. And we've got Craig Way here with us that does a tremendous job of painting pictures as we're listening in on the Texas broadcast. But racing, there's a lot of them in racing, and COVID-19 is affecting one of the diehard staples when it comes to race-related stuff, and that's Ken Squire. Ken Squire is a guy that was a radio guy, started out as a radio guy way back when, and he morphed himself into being the leading voice. And Ken Squire is a guy that, even though he was on television, he painted pictures with his words that really enhanced the viewing experience. He's just really, really good. 85 years old, Ken Squire, NASCAR Hall of Famer, but he was really a storyteller. And just with some of the phrases that he used to describe racing, it brought it into a whole new aspect. Take a listen to some of those.
And now, from high above the start-finish line at Ontario, here is Ken Squire.
Covering a city block in less than a second. Who will take the lion's share of $180,000 as it roars into the first turn and they begin to shuffle down the back straightaway?
It is a two-car joust.
And now moves in to appropriate the lead.
Into turn three, he fireballs his way into the lead, goes out in front by 1, 2, 3 car lengths here.
You hear right there, just the words right there. I mean, it's so easy to tell you what's happening. Great text already on the text line, 337-3776. Eli Gold from Motor Racing Network. That is another guy, voice of Alabama football right there, by the way, Eli Gold. But Ken Squire would take away, just listen to what he's saying right there. It's real easy to say the cars are coming out of turn two and they're going back and forth for position. But what Ken Squire would do, he would say, joust. And that adds a whole different element to that. And they would jockey back and forth. And there's so many more of them. Sam, throw a couple of more of those out there. These are Squireisms, as we call them.
Our owners, the patrons of the art, are here today. Talk about a choo-choo train. And look at that Oklahoma land rush back there. It is going to be a land rush to decide the Daytona 500.
It's down to the inside every so often to scoop some fresh air into the automobile.
See,
because the gauges...
It's stuff like that. That's that extra element that Ken Squire added to the broadcast, where that last cut right there where he's talking about the car getting, you see a car make a move to the outside. Obviously they're trying to make the pass, but he adds that added element of getting that cool air into the car, and those are the things that I remember as a race fan, Ken Squire is, I model my stuff a lot after Ken Squire when I'm calling a race, because it's the extra stuff. It is the extra stuff that really adds to that, that gives you the extra element to make you feel like you are at the race, that you are at the race. And of course, 1979 is where you really go back. And that's where NASCAR went to a whole different level. And I'll tell the story for you. It was a 1979 race, the Daytona 500, the biggest race in NASCAR, one of the biggest races in the world now. And it became that because of the 1979 race. Never had a race been covered flag to flag, which is from start to end. And what happened in 1979, Ken Squire went to the folks at CBS. There's a great Fox documentary about this. It's called The Perfect Storm from 1979. They pay a lot of money. There's a lot of money on the line. They're going to run this race on that February afternoon, and it rains all night. It rains that morning. The race needed to be canceled, but they would not do it because of all the money that was going to be lost. And Ken Squire was heading this operation as this race is going to happen at Daytona. And as the story goes, they start the race. They run the first 15, 16 laps under caution to start the race on time. Had that race not started on time, there'd have been a lot of money that was going to be lost, but they did start on time. They started under caution. As the race goes on, you get a battle between the Allison brothers and Cale Yarborough, and it comes down to the last lap. Donnie Allison, Cale Yarborough get caught up in a wreck. Richard Petty wins the first flag-to-flag broadcast on CBS, but that was not the end of the story. Here's how it ended.
A 22-passenger school bus to bring his crew to victory lane. Richard Petty, the great master, has just recorded his 186th career, and there's a fight between Cale Yarborough and Donnie Allison. The tempers overflowing. They're angry. They know they have lost. And what a bitter defeat.
And they're right there. That really, in essence, is what Ken Squire is. I'm not eulogizing because I saw this morning that he continues to progress. 85 years old, so it's very susceptible age group there for COVID-19. But you hear right there, not only, and there's a fight. I mean, just the way it's explained, they know they've lost. Tempers are flaring. It's the added element. And you see the video as they're going at it, and Bobby Allison comes, and Bobby Allison stops and gets involved. And it's just, it's a science. It's a science, and Ken Squire is one of those guys that has done it, and he has done it tremendously well, and thoughts and prayers to Ken Squire. Great text as well. The broadcasting section at the NASCAR Hall of Fame is named after Ken Squire and Barney Hall, who is Motor Racing Network. Those are two of the premier guys. Barney Hall, we lost him, but Ken Squire continues to go, and he will go down. He's not going to go down without a fight, and he progresses. So we're thinking about Ken Squire. Also, along those lines, when we talk about that 79 race, go back and watch that. A Perfect Storm. That was a lot of elements came together to make that happen. And it was a landmark TV event that really changed. It changed the face of racing. Ken Squire went on. He did this for years and years and years. He's passed it on. You got Mike Joy. You've got all of these great play-by-play guys, but there is only one Ken Squire. And hopefully he will continue to be better. But getting back over to the racing side of it. So we saw some news this week. We talked about Jimmy Johnson on the program heading over to IndyCar. Jimmy Johnson heads to IndyCar. I called this a while back. So Jimmy Johnson only running the road courses for Chip Ganassi Racing and IndyCar. His teammate, the guy that will run that car in four oval track races, is Tony Kanaan. TK, Tony Kanaan. So think about that team right there. You've got Tony Kanaan, who is one of the most accomplished and one of the most popular legendary IndyCar drivers. He will share the seat with Jimmy Johnson. And that's with Scott Dixon running in the team as well. So you seriously have an all-star team right there. So it's a multi-year deal. It's a two-year deal, just as Jimmy Johnson's deal is. 17-time race winner is Tony Kanaan in the IndyCar series. And not only that, he's won the Indianapolis 500. That is some good stuff. 13 road course races for Jimmy Johnson, 4 races on the ovals, as Juan Pablo Montoya says, the oval, for Tony Kanaan. And this is his second stint at Ganassi, 2014 through 2017. What a team. What a team. That's good stuff. Another good call from the text line. 1979, indeed. Talladega 500, another great call right there. 200 plus miles per hour, Ken Squire calling those races. Man, they used to come in and do media on Tuesday. Absolutely. And it was Ken Squire that was doing all of those. Good stuff right there. So Kanaan, Jimmy Johnson, man, that is a formidable team right there. And they will be doing it in IndyCar. Coming up at 9:25, we are set to talk to the one and only Birdman. I know a lot of folks watch Discovery TV. They watch the Street Rods. That's going to be some good stuff. He is set to join us at 11:25. Let's get some more Squireisms there. Folks are just asking for those. Let's throw a couple more at us, Sammy.
Thrusting that machine back in front. Sticks it right in there out of turn number four. He may have shot his arrow a little too early here. Earnhardt retiring. The engine caves in on car number two. His car turning out to be a smoke.
Good stuff right there. That is the one and only Ken Squire. Love it. Now they fly in on private jets. Absolutely. That's how that works. Other news that we saw this week, John Hunter Nemechek, very up-and-coming second-generation driver there. We watched him racing with Furniture Row Racing. That's one of the lower-funded teams in NASCAR. He will be driving full-time for Kyle Busch Motorsports in the Truck Series. And that brings up a question that hopefully we'll be able to talk about a little bit deeper in the program today when it comes to drivers that, essentially, if you look at this, what he's doing, he's stepping away. He opted not to be in the Cup Series to do something else. And he's going to what you would call the third level national tier series there with the trucks. He'll be full time driving with KBM. And that is a top level team when it comes to the Truck Series. So that brings up the question, why would somebody jump out of the top series to go race in a lower tier series? And that's, we're watching more and more of that as those Cup seats are just so limited. You've got the high finance teams that are really the teams to beat week after week. You have teams that are in NASCAR that the only way to say it is that they really don't have an opportunity to win. And what this really comes down to, it comes down to the baseball system, friends. It comes down to the AA and the minor league systems. You've got a lot of really good baseball players that maybe get to the show, look at Major League. Look at all these movies that have been made. Look at Bull Durham. All of these movies, that really personifies what is happening right here in racing these days. You have folks that get to that top level, and for whatever reason, maybe it's they don't produce the way that they should. Maybe the equipment was not in place. They didn't have the financing there, but they have to make a move. And the question is, would you rather be a field filler? Do you want to be a back marker? Do you want to get lapped, you know, by lap 75 or whatever it is? Or do you want to get in top flight equipment and be running at the front, maybe contending for a championship, maybe attracting sponsors? That's the question. And we saw it with Daniel Hemric. Daniel Hemric has chosen to, this happened to him 2 years ago. He was in the Cup Series, didn't have the success with Childress. He goes back to the Xfinity Series, and now he nabs one of the top Xfinity Series rides with Joe Gibbs Racing. He will be a championship contender. He needs to win. Maybe he'll work himself back up. Hemric is a little bit older. When you get to John Hunter Nemechek, Nemechek is making this move at a much younger age, back down, placing himself in KBM equipment in those Tundras for Kyle Busch Racing. He puts himself in a position where possibly he can attract that sponsorship, that attention, winning those races in the Truck Series to get himself back up into that upper tier. So a lot of folks have said, why do you step down? I mean, it's really a no-brainer in this situation because those seats aren't there. With what racing has become, because it's on the text line now where folks are talking about drivers fly in on private jets instead of showing up there in a camper or in a trailer like they used to do, this is money-driven. It's all money-driven. I heard the guys talking on the post-game show yesterday about UT. The athletic program is money-driven. So is racing. It's all about financing, money, sponsors, corporate involvement. You have to get yourself in a position to gain that. And that's what John Hunter Nemechek is doing. He's putting himself in the best position that he feels is going to put him back in that marquee series. And we do see with a lot of drivers, one of them, Elliott Sadler's one, Justin Allgaier. You know, Sadler has retired, but you've got Allgaier. You've got all of these guys that continue to race successfully in the Xfinity Series that have tasted the water of the major leagues, being the Cup Series, and have made that move, I hate to say down, because it is a premier series in North America, but they've taken that step back. I guess that's really the best way for me to say it. They've taken that step back and put themselves in a position to where maybe you don't want to go back up. Elliott Sadler, for one, he was in that top series. He won four races in the NASCAR Cup Series. He went down, took a step back to the Xfinity Series, and he was in position for championships. He was winning races. He did everything he had to do, and he extended his career probably 8 to 10 years to where that probably wasn't going to happen had he stayed in a lesser cup ride and just rode around. So this is a great move for Nemechek. This is a great move for Daniel Hemric, and we're seeing guys do this. So you can escalate yourself up. You escalate yourself up, money in your back pocket, money with your dad or whoever it is that really helps. But we see with some of these other drivers where sometimes take a deep breath, take a step backwards. Sometimes that's what you need to keep your career going, one, or number two, progress you to the next level. So we'll continue to watch that, and we'll see if we see more of that trend happening. And I seriously think we will, because as we talk about, the rides just aren't there, and you got to keep racing. You got to stay in front of people, and you stay in front of people being in the front. Xfinity races, Truck Series races, those are on national TV as well. So great move there for Nemechek. Coming up, we are set to talk to Birdman. That is going to be some good stuff. You watch him on Discovery every Monday night. He is set after the break. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. It is 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Revved Up ATX on the Horn, your Saturday on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app. And at Horn FM, Rodney Rodriguez with you. Good stuff on the text line today, and definitely figuring out how to get the racing folks. And this is what we see with NASCAR, and we are working to get Birdman James Finney from Street Outlaws on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline. We set that up early in the week, so working to get that all set up. How you get the fans out of the woodwork right there? You start talking about those old days, and it really is when you go back to those. When you go back to those old broadcasts and you watch the old racing, and it was so much back in the day, but before 1979, where I was talking about the great call there from Ken Squire in that epic, and that's it definitely was an epic race, the 79 500. You relied on radio to try to get the signal, try to get that antenna somewhere where you could locate an AM station to where you could get that race broadcast in from the Motor Racing Network, and there's just so many great calls, and those names keep popping up. You know, Mike Joy is popping up there. Obviously, Mike Joy is a guy that you see him on television now, but he had that start. He had that start on the radio, and that's how he cut his teeth. And so many guys, I really attribute a lot of what we hear these guys, because you go with Mike Joy, Ken Squire, Eli Gold, that did this, and these are just the names that have been thrown at me here this morning. These guys were PA guys, and when you get out and you're calling races on public address, you have to get really creative. You have to get really creative, because you do see what is actually going on out on the racetrack, and these guys have done it, and many of them continue to do it well. And there's a great crop of new broadcasters, whether it be on the radio or on television, online, that do a tremendous job in doing this. And racing is a very unique sport. When you call it, you have to add that extra flair, like Ken Squire does, that really brings in that extra. Just some other news throughout the week that was coming up. Saw from Adam Stern. That is one of the most, give him a follow, at Adam Stern on Twitter. That is one of the guys where if you really want to know the ins and outs of what's going on in motorsports, whether it be NASCAR or sports media, but he really does do a great job of zeroing in there on NASCAR. We see Adam Stern talking about, we talked about on the program the past couple of weeks, and you can catch all the archives at hornfm.com, talking about with Bubba Wallace, the move. You've got Michael Jordan now involved in NASCAR. Michael Jordan, a team owner with Denny Hamlin. They will field Toyotas to be driven by Bubba Wallace, who has had quite the season himself. But McDonald's has been a sponsor that this past season was involved with sponsorship on the 42 car Chip Ganassi racing with first Kyle Larson, and then with Matt Kenseth after that incident there. But you would also see McDonald's on the livery there, the 43 car for the 43 car of Bubba Wallace with Richard Petty Racing. So you saw that. It was announced this week that it appears that McDonald's is likely to return to Chip Ganassi Racing, which will be on the 42 car which will now be driven by Ross Chastain, and at the same time will also be on the 2311 Racing Toyota, it appears, to be on the 2311 Racing Toyota there with Bubba Wallace. So McDonald's involvement continuing to be a part of this sport. And again, this is a great avenue for McDonald's, because I can tell you there's been a lot of times where I'm going to a racetrack, whether it be a NASCAR track or one of the short tracks around here, and I've got to stop. I'm going to stop at McDonald's or Whataburger, one of the two. So a great platform there with McDonald's, and I think that McDonald's will be partnering themselves up with two great drivers in that Ross Chastain. You have the great story that we've talked about. He was the 2019 Revved Up Sports Show Driver of the Year, and his ascension to finally getting that cup ride full-time that he will have with the 42. And then, of course, you got Bubba Wallace, which is the only African-American driver in the Cup Series. He has a good allegiance of fans. He does have some detractors, which that's its own story. But a good alignment there, and McDonald's a good corporate partner to have because they've been with the sport for a long time, and they're backing a couple of really good dudes right there. So that is good for the sport. When you continue to see corporate dollars coming in to the sport, and that's what we need to have. Dave Cote, it is the great Dave Cote that is checking in, and he is actually talking about Bob Jenkins. Bob Jenkins is the gentleman that he is referencing right there. He is actually, you can go to hornfm.com, and you can find an interview that we did with Bob Jenkins. I believe that was back in February, back in March. It was one of our first shows back out of the pandemic, as we were over at the Aaron Hogan Studios over at Onion Creek. We talked to Bob Jenkins, and Bob Jenkins, very candid in his conversations with us, and I would assume that many of these longtime broadcasters we would talk to, and there's many of the attributes that we see in today's NASCAR that I agree with Bob Jenkins in some of these, where I don't like some of what I see. And it's not what I'm accustomed to seeing. And Bob Jenkins, very candid as he talked about some of these different changes. And we didn't really get into stage breaks and all of these other different things, but yes, Bob Jenkins, another great one. Bob Jenkins is the one that made the call there in the 99 incident, with incident number two with Terry Labonte and Dale Earnhardt in the night race over at Bristol, where he eloquently says, when Earnhardt gets into the back of Terry Labonte, he says, and Earnhardt spins him. It's like he didn't want it to come out. He's trying to reel that back in, but it was pretty point blank what was happening back there. But Bob Jenkins, just another good one. Still working on Birdman. Hopefully we're able to make that happen. If we can't, we're flexible. We will make it happen another time. But Sam is back there, not only twisting and tweaking the dials, but letting his fingers do the walk in there as he is trying to get Birdman lined up on the hotline. As I go back into my old days there, let your fingers do the walk and all that good stuff. Other news coming up. We still do have Formula One is still racing. Everybody is looking to 2021, but you've got Formula One there at Bahrain coming up. They will be racing tomorrow. I believe that is a 6:10, I'd have to double check the time on that. It's a 6:10 or 8:10 in the morning that you will see that race from Bahrain. They qualified today, which is tonight over there. You've got Lewis Hamilton on the point, Valtteri Bottas on the outside. So you've got the two Mercedes. Then you've got Red Bull Max Verstappen is there. Sergio Perez, once again, with Racing Point. We're seeing a lot of success with Perez here in these waning stages of the 2020 season as he qualifies fifth. So really good run for Perez as he continues to solidify himself right here at the end of the season. But Lewis Hamilton, he wins that seventh championship, and now it's just a matter for him. He's just trying to rack up wins. He will just continue to try to rack up wins right now as he has secured that championship. Saw an interesting stat yesterday. It was actually on Formula One at Formula1.com. Saw where a lot of folks thought that in this event, I mean, Lewis was fastest yesterday. He's obviously going to be starting on the point here in the qualifying grid for the race tomorrow morning. But there were a lot of folks with the different points on the racetrack, as they have segments on the racetrack where they actually go and they do segmented timing just as they do in NASCAR. But a lot of folks are thinking that possibly Max Verstappen is going to be the fastest this weekend, tomorrow. He's sitting third right now. Not a lot of difference the time there. 127.264. 127.678. So that's actually a lot of time on the racetrack. But we'll see if Verstappen's actually going to be able to take a stab there and make a move and knock Lewis Hamilton off the point. But it is Hamilton's again to lose coming up tomorrow. And we'll follow that. They still got races to go in Formula One. As everything starts to reset and we start working towards 2021, schedules are out. I mean, we're seeing all the movements right there, as we saw mentioned earlier with Tony Kanaan sharing the ride with Jimmy Johnson. And that's just a formidable duo right there as IndyCar looks to make a big move. And when you do have Jimmy Johnson in your series, leaving another series on his own, I mean choosing to walk away and going to do something else, that's really good for the NTT IndyCar series. Saw Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson, we have talked about at length on this program the trials and tribulations that we've watched with him. He had the incident there that we've talked about in depth back in February, March, with the racial slur there on the iRacing incident. He gets tabbed to drive for Hendrick. He will be driving the number 5 Hendrick car, which continues to be unsponsored. We have not seen any corporate entity dive into that. And again, they may be looking at that as some sort of liability. I think some folks are maybe wanting Larson to prove himself, not really looking at the big fact of what Larson has been doing. Larson has gone back, and he's visited African American, whether it be organizations, schools. He's been deeply involved, and he has owned his mistake. All the while, he just keeps on winning. This dude keeps on winning as he races this week, and he picks up his 44th dirt track win of the 2020 season. And it just does not stop. It just does not stop. Kyle Larson is really, when we go in and we look at drivers of the past, and as we've been talking about, the Alabama gang came up earlier with the Allisons and Neil Bonnett and Cale Yarbrough, and we can just go and name these guys. But we see guys that today, and it starts right there at the top with Kyle Larson, and you've got Kyle Busch, you've got Ty Majeski, talked about John Hunter Nemechek. You've got guys that jump in race cars and they just win. They just win. They are race car guys that they've honed their skills, whether it be at different aspects of racing. Stuart Friesen is a very, very good truck racer, and Stuart Friesen has honed his racing skills in the same manner that Jimmy Johnson has done, where he did it in these off-road trucks. He did it on dirt, and that's where the discrepancy comes back and forth, where it's, which pavement or asphalt, which is going to be the one that's going to make you a better driver? And that debate continues to go back and forth. And you see so many of these drivers, Larson being the key one right now, to where he's good on pavement, he's good on dirt. And what's going to be interesting to see now is, now that we've watched Kyle Larson a full season in dirt, he's been the big money guy, he's been the bounty hunter, he's gone out and he's won the big races, 44 dirt races. Now he's going to go back to that pavement. He's going to go back to the pavement, and we'll see how his driving style changes. We'll see him in equipment that he has not been in the past. We'll see him in top flight Hendrick Chevrolet equipment, and it's going to be, I really think, a year where Kyle Larson establishes himself, and once he gets back in and once he starts winning those races, I think that's when that money's going to come. I think that's when those sponsorship dollars are going to come in. And they will latch on to Kyle Larson. Dave Cody checks in again. I love this. Used to sit poolside in Memphis and listen to Sunday races on MRN. They would paint the picture. What was I telling you? Paint the picture side by side, three wide in turn one. There you go. That, just having been to Talladega, I love it. Absolutely. It is definitely a sport where you do paint the picture. And it television has changed that. But it's still very easy to do, to paint that picture as you've got the picture in front of you. And we do applaud the broadcasters that are doing TV work this year, because for the most part, most of those broadcasters were doing it from a different location. They were at the Fox studios or at Charlotte, North Carolina, at Charlotte Motor Speedway, in a different place. And that really adds a different element to having to do what these guys have done. And, it is. It's a very good crop, but we are. Again, we're going on about this. We've become nostalgic today because we're talking about Ken Squire, who's battling COVID-19, and we are passing on the best to him, as hopefully he will get past that. He continues to improve, and that's the number one thing that you want to hear, because he is in that age group, which is, possibly most susceptible to that. Talked about Small Business Friday. I'm getting that on the text line as well. Go support those local businesses. I don't care if it is a, you know, a convenience store. It's a clothing store. I know so many folks that, you know, they run small clothing operations or they sell, you know, a knickknack store, whatever it is. Restaurants have been so impacted by this COVID-19 to where they're clinging on, you know, for their very lives to keep these small businesses operating. So do it as often as you can, but especially today if you can. Get on out on Small Business Friday and support those local businesses because they need the help just as much as anybody else. And we need to take care of those because they've been taking care of us for a long, long time. First time at TMS, the roads were not completed. The live TV truck overheated and we were towed into the infield. And I can tell you that first race at TMS, and this is back when you would go to Texas Motor Speedway. Texas Motor Speedway right there at 35 and 114. If you go out that way now, there's, you know, outlet malls, there's Buc-ee's, there's everything right along that corridor. You've got so many businesses, and a lot of that you thank Texas Motor Speedway because all of that came towards Texas Motor Speedway. Now it's just a mad dash to Denton where you go by TMS, and before you know it, you are in Denton. But even when you go back the other way, when you go on 114 East, there was not anything out that way, and Grapevine had just blown up, and all of this attributed to Texas Motor Speedway. The first time I went to Texas Motor Speedway, I was coming on 114 East, coming in from Irving, and 114 was a two-lane highway. And in this first weekend that we're talking about, the grounds were, the roads were saturated, and you had folks stuck in the mud. The grounds at TMS, you had very little concrete. The only concrete that you had in TMS were the paths that led you into the parking lot. You had everyone stuck in the mud, and it was a disaster. It was a disaster. They start the race. Darrell Waltrip ensues a 12-car pileup on lap one. They get the race run. Jeff Burton wins that one, and that was one of the best races at Texas Motor Speedway. And again, Texas Motor Speedway, if you're not aware, will be the host in 2021 for the NASCAR All-Star Race. You will have that in June. You'll still have the playoff race at the end of the year in October, I believe it is, as that is pushed back. And that spring date, the spring date that typically had been at TMS, that will shift over as you will have NASCAR at Circuit of the Americas. So things really starting to happen here in Racetown, USA, as COTA will be a player when it comes to 2021 in NASCAR. Great memories there from Dave Cody. Dave, thanks for checking in. That is really good stuff as we talk about Ken Squire. We're also getting stuff on the text line talking about the references there to the drivers that may go back to the Xfinity series and the truck series. And this is not a new concept. It like I talked about Elliott Sadler in the past, this really is a situation to where we're just seeing it more now because those seats are filled. And once you get what you have to do is you have to get more teams involved in this, but it is a multi-million dollar undertaking to get a team involved in cup racing. And to make that happen, you need that sponsorship that we're talking about. We're talking about McDonald's and all of these other folks. But you still, the question is to get another OEM, to get another manufacturer into the sport. We're talking about the car is changing in 2022. We will go to the next gen car, which will be a drastic change from the cars that we've seen here the last, you know, 10, 12 years. When we talk about this is like a car of tomorrow or a short wheelbase change is what we're going to see with this next gen car that's coming into 2022. But maybe at that point, when you get another OEM in, whether it be Nissan or someone, maybe that's where you get more of those seats to where some of these guys can escalate back. Because now, as you've got, I mean, because you're down to Harvick. Harvick, Kyle Busch, and these guys are the elder statesmen of the Cup Series. And they're going to be in those seats for a while. So there's not going to be a lot of shifting going on unless those sponsorship dollars are the ones that are going to dictate what's going to happen there. Coming up, we will go to Pit Stop News and Notes, Places for Races. We're dwindling down Places for Races. There's still a few happening around here. We'll talk about that. I'm going to tell you about a huge, and I mean huge, short track race coming up in the Gulf Coast. That's next. Saturday mornings on the Horn, it is Revved Up ATX, Rodney Rodriguez, Sam Pica behind the glass as we work you up towards your nooner coming up. And as I always say, coming up at noon, it will be my man, Tyler Campbell. Mr. TC Speaks. If you have not listened to TC, in the past, you need to check yourself in at noon. Sit yourself down. If you're driving in your car, leave it right here on the horn. If you're listening in on the app, AM 1260, wherever it may be, and listen to Tyler Campbell. That is some great conversation right there. Always a really good message. Always a really good message. And I got to tell you, Sam, there's so many times that TC says something, and, man, it just soaks in my cerebellum. Man, so many times.
Marinates
in my cerebellum. Think about that as you let your turkey marinate from your Thanksgiving feasts. Really good stuff. That's coming up from noon to one, right after Revved Up ATX. It is Mr. TC Speaks. Tyler Campbell. Good stuff coming up here after the program. Taking a look at Pit Stop News and Notes. And Pit Stop News and Notes, as we were talking about on the program, as I was mentioning a couple of weeks ago, with Pit Stop News and Notes, the Revved Up ATX, for the most part here, probably until we get into the middle portions of January, is going to be mostly Pit Stop News and Notes. Because what we're going to have here at this point, you've still got drivers that don't have places. And this is in Formula One. This is an IndyCar. And, of course, in NASCAR, in the upper-level series, where you have so many drivers that their 2021 fate is still unknown. They don't know where they're going to be working or what they're going to be doing. So we're still looking to get all of those filled, and probably right about January, when we get to January, that's when we're going to kick into Supercross, and we're going to hit hot and heavy with Supercross on Revved Up ATX, because it's going to start right here in Texas. It will start, as we mentioned, coming up in January. They will be at NRG Stadium in Houston. They will run three back-to-back events right there, trifecta, to start the season. So, and a big move for Houston, because Houston had been off the schedule, I believe, for 2 years with the Monster Energy Supercross Series, but they are back on in 2021. So we will hammer that when we get into January. But up until that point, we're going to keep you updated on what's happening, who's going where people are prognosticating things to happen, following the evolution of this next-gen car, because that car continues to be a work in progress. We talked on the program last week, all the archives, and all of our weekday programs, our weekend programs, our live local programming, everything is podcast at hornfm.com. Go to the podcast section and check that out. But we talked about on that program how this car continues to evolve. It was, you know, guns a-blazing at the beginning of the year. The pandemic stopped. The pandemic started. They stopped all of the testing, and now they've started to ease that back in. The car was on the track at Charlotte a week ago, I believe, and they ran on the Roval. They ran on the big track. They ran on the 1.5-mile oval to mixed reviews. You had Kurt Busch and Martin Truex Jr. in the car, and this is a car that is going to be – this is a car that – When cars were designed in the past, when you had what I was talking about, when you went from the big wheelbase cars and you went down to the 110-inch wheelbase, when that happened, and when you went to the car of tomorrow, when all of that happened, you had a NASCAR series that is predominantly, for the most part, 90%, 95% possibly, that were oval tracks, where you had everything was on the oval. You may go to Riverside, you may go to Sears Point, you may go to Sonoma, Watkins Glen. They were few and far between. You did have short tracks, but you could use those cars and just remodify them for the short tracks. But what's happening now, as the NASCAR schedule has just done a complete 360 for the most part, coming up in 2021, which will lead up into 2022. I just see more of this happening as that schedule continues to change and the sport continues to change, where it's going to road courses. You're not going to have a predominantly road course Cup schedule at any point, I don't think. I don't hope, because we have plenty of those now. But you're going to have a car that is conducive to both of those. And that's the challenge with the next-gen car, which NASCAR and the teams continue to work on. And as we talked about last Saturday on the program, probably about mid-April, that's when we'll probably start to see the Toyota actually roll out and the Chevrolet and the Ford. But to Pit Stop News and Notes, I don't really know how it went on that tangent. I guess that's a little bit Pit Stop News and Notes. But Dale Earnhardt Jr., Steve Kinser, that's a couple of big names right there. They will be inducted into the National Motorsports Press Association Hall of Fame, class of 2021. I mean, what can you say about Dale Jr.? A lot of folks will still say, well, you know, Dale Jr. didn't live up to the expectations of his dad. Well, that's a big argument right there that a lot of folks say, yeah, he didn't win seven championships. He didn't win all of those races. He wasn't the intimidator. But I can tell you one thing. Dale Earnhardt Jr. did something for this sport that his dad could have never done. Dale Earnhardt Jr. went and captured. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, to some respect, but Dale Earnhardt Jr. is really the one that went and got this 18 to 35 demographic riled up. He went and got the good old young guys. He went and got those guys because this Dale Earnhardt Jr., point blank, is a guy you can sit around and have a Bud Light with. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a guy, you hear Dale Earnhardt Jr. tell stories of his younger days, and it's the same stuff that we've all done. And so, Jr., a driving force. He won 26 races. He won the Daytona 500 multiple times. Most popular driver every year that he was in the series, for crying out loud. So he did a lot. He did a lot, and he deserves to be in all of these Hall of Fames. And then you got Steve Kinser, probably the greatest sprint car driver of all time. And those sprint cars, the World of Outlaws, that is the series that you see Kyle Larson tearing up right now. And it was Steve Kinser that was Kyle Larson way before Kyle Larson was ever Kyle Larson. So a couple of good picks right there. A little bit of sad news. Morgan Shepherd, a very well-known name in racing circles. 52 consecutive years he was in NASCAR-sanctioned, you know, big series races. He is battling Parkinson's disease. So talked about Ken Squire there. So maybe set a little bit of time aside. Morgan Shepherd, he's got wins in the Cup Series. He's bounced around. He's still racing in the Xfinity Series. He was one of those that I talked about where, you know, maybe a start and park where he'd start the race and park immediately. Did it all on his own. Did it all on his own, the better part, you know, the latter stages of his career, but a very successful career when it came to racing. And Morgan Shepherd, we will continue passing on thoughts there for him as well. NASCAR is trying to figure out ways to get corporate involvement. Corporate involvement struggled this year. Maybe one of the reasons that teams are, or that corporations are not getting involved. They couldn't get to racetracks. They couldn't be entertained with what the way NASCAR typically does that. So trying to find new options depending on what race access will look like for those folks in 2021. We'll follow that throughout the offseason as well. Places for races. The place to be this week will be Pensacola, Florida, out on the Florida Gulf Coast. Just as you get into Florida, Five Flag Speedway, you have the Super Bowl of short track racing, the half mile, high banked Five Flag Speedway, one of the most renowned historic short tracks in the country. Five Flag Speedway will host the Snowball Derby. It has been run for years and years and years. You get the top short track racers from across the country. Guys, where I'm talking about guys that maybe they're okay with not getting to Cup. You see them in this race. You've got guys like Bubba Pollard, Casey Roderick, Steven Nassi. These are maybe not household names that you see on Sunday, but these are guys that in those positions could probably outrun the guys on Sunday. They are that good. And oh, by the way, this year, Kyle Busch will be there in a super late model. And just registering last week, 2020 NASCAR Cup champion Chase Elliott, a two-time winner of that race, will be back there as well. SnowballDerby.com. Check it out. It is going to be great. Small Business Saturday, friends. Get out and support our local businesses. They deserve it. Friends, be nice to someone. You never know what they're going through. You're going to feel better as well afterwards. For Sam, I'm Rodney. It's Revved Up ATX on the horn. We'll see you next weekend.